Good afternoon, Eastern Washington. This is Matt Shea, and welcome to Patriot Radio, broadcasting live from the capital of Free Washington, Spokane Valley, brought to you once again by the Committee to Elect Matt Shea, Republican, and the legacy of Dr. Stan Monteith, bringing you the story behind the story and the news behind the news. And once again, this is not about right or left. It's about right and wrong. It's about doing the hard work to implement freedom, because our hope is not in man, but in Jesus Christ. And we can't end in prayer. We must also move to action. And as Exodus 15:3 says, the Lord is a warrior. The Lord is his name. Are we warriors? I want to talk about a couple things today. One of which is how to react as Christians in crisis. Now, there have been a lot of studies done on these kind of things, reaction times and those types of things. And actually, we'll talk a little bit about that later on in the show. But one of the key points is, if you're focusing on helping other people, you're doing the right thing in a situation like that. And I want to talk about what happened down in Las Vegas here in just a second. But it is important to understand that in a crisis, think about the people around you, what you can do to help them. That's the Christian thing to do. And there were a lot of heroes down there, many unsung, that saved a lot of lives because they were thinking about other people and not themselves. And that's the American thing, too. And that brings us now to your daily intelligence briefing. On the international front in the Middle East, Kurdish independence still being talked about. Their overwhelming vote was 93% voted for independence. Some maneuvering going on with Turkish forces, Iranian-backed Shia militias, and also the Iraqi government, and moving in and around Kirkuk for many different reasons, and not just oil, but also because of its strategic location and the fact that if the Kurds actually do have an independent state, that is going to draw Kurds from Turkey and Iran and Syria to want to also be independent. And there's a wave of independence moving across the world. That brings us next to the Catalan independence vote. The Catalonians voting overwhelmingly. Now, here's an interesting tale. So they voted once already. The government let them do it that time. Now, this independence vote, the Catalonians had to deploy their fire, equivalent of their fire departments, between the people and the federal police, because the federal police were injuring so many people. Reports of over 800 people injured at the polls on October 1st. And there were people that were going to the polls that were actually going to vote to stay with Spain, who, because of the government's reaction, these government security forces and their reaction, went ahead and voted for independence. You know, when these federal police in Spain were going in and beating up grandmothers, and the pictures of these poor ladies on TV just swayed a lot of people, and people that saw it firsthand there as well. Well, now the Catalonians are expected to declare independence Monday. So we're going to keep our eyes on this, because if they declare independence, there are a lot of other implications. Now, Catalonia and the Catalans, they are one of the biggest manufacturing economic hubs in Spain, and they are responsible for a lot of the prosperity in Spain. And in fact, a lot of the money from Catalonia goes to other parts of Spain. And the Catalonians are sick and tired of it. They believe their value systems are completely different than other parts of Spain. They want to be independent. Now, if they go, that brings problems internal to Spain, with the region north of Portugal, also the Basque region in Spain, but more importantly, other areas in Europe, particularly northern Italy and Lega Lombarda, and some of the other movements that are also happening in Europe, because people want a government that more represents their values. And currently, the Spanish government does not. Now, until 1975, Spain was run under the direction of Franco. And he actually was responsible for winning essentially a civil war. It was really kind of three ways, actually, but a civil war in Spain in the World War II era. And so what they called democracy is really relatively new in Spain, and the Catalonians moving for independence is a real test of authority and power there. So we're going to keep our eyes on this situation because it has ramifications across the world and particularly across Europe. Also on the international front, North Korea. A couple things that are on that front. One is these Chinese influence operations that are occurring right now that was finally reported on. And I mean, I love this, that somebody actually came out and talked about it. But freebeacon.com has the article and talks about how much China relies on influence operation in foreign countries, including the United States of America. A lot of talk right now about Russian influence, and a lot of that's been just completely disproven as just drummed up hoax. But Chinese influence operations is real. And they have a very robust, coordinated intelligence operation that operates in many countries. So take a look at this article. It is pretty well done, I think, from Free Beacon. It gives you an idea that we shouldn't be looking at what we're told to be looking at. We should be looking at the periphery, because that's how you can understand the threat that's about to take you down. Also on the international front, Venezuela, bracing for war with the United States. The only problem is Venezuela and their military, since its formation in, I think it was in the 1860s, has never been to war. Ever. Ever. So I don't know if they're trying to just drum up morale or something, but Venezuelan opposition, very quiet, and it remains to be seen if they're coordinating behind the scenes right now for an all-out push. But still, that close to America, something that we should be watching. On the national front, Judge Roy Moore, elected down in the South, in Alabama, and I am so excited because he has brought some true principles and articulated values and courage, I think, to the fore and to the political discussion. Now, there still is a race in November between him and the Democrat, but most people think that that's just not even a contest at this point. What I would say is this, that he is going to help change the dynamic in the U.S. Senate and hopefully bring some sanity and some action to the U.S. Senate, because there's been a lot of doublespeak for a long time, and it's great to see that the establishment did not take him out and that he did win. And I think it really, you know, the establishment is saying, oh, it's not going to affect us, it's not going to affect us, but it really is affecting them. Otherwise, they wouldn't say anything. Also on the national front, Cuban embassy personnel, there's a couple of articles out there about it right now. We've been talking about these attacks that have happened against U.S. embassy personnel down in Cuba. And now, since the Cuban embassy personnel cannot guarantee the safety of these U.S. embassy personnel, and the Cuban government can't just figure out what's going on, and everybody's being really hush-hush about this. You know, a couple years from now, we'll find out it was something fairly significant. But the Cuban government can't guarantee their safety, so they've been ordered home, and there's been a dramatic scaling down of embassy personnel for the United States in Cuba. So these things that are happening behind the scenes, you know, they're very curious and they're having some pretty big implications. And I think we need to take this seriously instead of trying to expect that maybe the mainstream media is going to tell us what's really going on out there, because this is not being widely reported, although one finally broke it. It's not being widely reported or talked about. Also on the national front, Puerto Rico. And I want to mention this because this is a lesson for all of us. So massive amounts of personnel. There's over 10,000 federal employees on the ground in Puerto Rico and the Virgin Islands. Massive supplies have landed there. Water, food, etc., medicine especially. The hospitals here in Washington State, for example, on a daily basis operate at about a 95% capacity. That means they'll be easily overwhelmed at a crisis. Same thing happened in Puerto Rico. They didn't have the hospital capacity. They didn't have strategic food stores. They did not have strategic water stores. All that stuff gets shipped in. Now, some people are saying, well, the people aren't getting it. Well, the people aren't getting it because the distribution system on the ground isn't able to get it to them. So even though you have all these supplies there ready to get out to outlying areas in Puerto Rico, they're having a very difficult time because of the massive damage to infrastructure and also lack of communication. A lot of folks are not talking about this, but I suspect there are hundreds more, if not thousands more, dead than are being talked about, number one. Number two, there are people that are having to survive on what they had in their pantry, and that should be a lesson to all of us to be prepared so we can help our neighbors in situations like that, because even if the supplies are inbound, you may not get them for a long, long time. And this is the United States of America. This happened in the United States of America. Also on the national front, I don't know if you guys remember this, but this officer who was shot in Texas back at the Draw Muhammad event, okay? There was going to be an attack, a terrorist attack on the Draw Muhammad event in Texas. Two officers intercepted the perpetrator. One of them was shot. That guy has now sued the FBI. Why? I want to read this to you. It comes from WorldNet Daily today. Bruce Joyner charges the FBI as liable because one of its agents, quote, solicited, encouraged, directed, and aided members of ISIS in planning and carrying out the May 3rd attack, end quote. That is a stunning accusation. The FBI helped and didn't stop. And this perpetrator and this officer got shot as a result of it. And thank God nobody else was injured. But unbelievable. And this was in 2015 that it's taken this long for some of these things to come out. So we're going to be following that story as it develops as well. And again, that comes from WorldNet Daily, and you can check it out yourself. Also on the national front, Planned Parenthood. There's a couple of videos out there right now, in particular about Iowa's Planned Parenthood, and you really should take a look at it. This, again, is from WorldNet Daily. The videos just clearly lay out what the plans are, basically, that in 17 years, nobody got an adoption because they were pitching something completely different. And I think a good lesson for all of us that life does matter. It does matter. And that some of these organizations are intentionally trying to profit off of taking life. On the regional front, Bundy Ranch trial, some people still seeking a pardon. A couple of things have happened. One of the journalists down there pled guilty to a felony. Pete Santilli, and a lot of people are just wondering why. There had been two not guilty verdicts that came out, one in Oregon, one down in Nevada. And then that was after a hung jury. And then there were six charges left. Now, 53 current and past state legislators in Idaho sent a letter to Attorney General Sessions asking him to stop the prosecution because it's very clear juries are seeing through this, that it was indeed a protest. Raul Labrador, to his great credit, congressman from Idaho, also sent a letter. So we're going to continue to watch this. But my sense is that if they're trying to cut whatever deal they can right now, that maybe there won't be any more prosecutions in the future. I don't know. We'll see. On the regional front as well, the Hearst decision. Now, BIAW report, which was done by HR2 Research and Analytics, came out. It showed how devastating this Hearst decision was to Washington State and how specifically devastating it was to rural Washington. I want to give you some facts from this report about what this overturning of 150 years of Western water law resulted in. Number one, $6.9 billion in lost economic activity each year, predominantly to rural communities. $6.9 billion. $452.3 million in lost employee wages due to the impacts of Hearst annually. 9,300 lost jobs. $392.7 million in lost taxes to state and local governments. $4.5 billion in losses to the construction industry, $37 billion in lost property values in areas impacted by Hearst, and $346 million in property taxes shifted to other property in Washington State due to the decision. Wow. Was that a mistake or what? I mean, I don't even know what to say. I mean, that, you know, if we don't get this fixed, this Hearst decision fixed, this is going to continue to devastate Washington State. And I hope that's not their intent. I really do. I really, really do. But those facts right there now demand action. They really do. All right, on the local front, county commissioner race. Well, actually, county commissioner appointment race. Mary Cooney was selected by Governor Jay Inslee here last week, and congratulations to Mary, and Rob Chase was very conciliatory, but Governor Inslee picked Mary Cooney, and a lot of folks didn't even know that it happened. There's not a lot of information out there on it, but she was selected and will be the county commissioner to fill the vacancy left by Shelley O'Quinn. On the local front as well, October 12th, mark your calendars. That's our annual Freedom Fundraiser up at Trezzi Farm Winery on Green Bluff. 6 o'clock is when the door is open. You can go on Patriot Radio. You can go on my personal Facebook page. You can go to Eventbrite, and you can buy tickets. All of those places have the links to the event, and I look forward to seeing everybody there as well. Also on the local front, October 19th at Center Place out in the valley, 7 o'clock, Tom DeWeese of the American Policy Center going to be here talking about how Agenda 21 is actually Agenda 2030. So more on property rights. And that is the briefing. Remember, the antidote to dependency and socialism is to be a God-fearing, self-reliant, freedom-loving American. Thank you very much to everyone who's been praying for us in the show. And make sure you go to Facebook.com/Patriot Radio US, like the page, share it with your friends and family. Thank you to everybody that's been doing that. And if you want to donate, keep us on the air, broadcasting throughout all of Eastern Washington, Northeast Oregon, and Northern Idaho. You can go to VoteShea.com and help us keep the message out there. Well, my guest today, I wanted to bring him on because he's got a great perspective on the idea of no victims. Brayson Buckner, Spokane, Krav Maga, and really, I was really impressed with your facility when I went down there and took a look at it in our conversation. Really appreciate what you're doing and making sure there are no more victims in Spokane. Thank you very much for being on Patriot Radio today.
You bet. Thanks for having me.
So if you could, tell the listeners a little bit about your background and what is Krav Maga? Where did it come from? Tell a little bit about the history.
Krav Maga is an Israeli form of self-defense developed in the late 40s, early 50s by a man named Emi Lichtenfeld. When Israel was created, he was a part of that, and they sought him out for his fighting background that he had and to help develop a defensive tactics program for their new military. And from that, it you know, it grew, turned into what it is, and then it came to the United States, and it started getting taught publicly in the late 90s, roughly. And I came across it while living in Boise. And, you know, once I got training in it, I was really taken back at how efficient it was, easy to learn. It helped me with my confidence, and, you know, that's what it's all about.
So how did your prior experience in life, I guess, prepare you for that? Or can anything really prepare you to be a lead instructor and an owner of a Krav Maga studio?
Well, I guess just the entrepreneur in me, ever since I've been younger, I was, you know, doing paper routes and whatnot. So there's that entrepreneur in me. And, you know, I saw an opportunity when I was here in Spokane to bring it because I missed it. And I did what I needed to do. I was traveling every day down to Moscow, Idaho to train with a gentleman that was out of Dallas-Fort Worth. And I trained with him for months and months to get to that first level and then just continued to train. And you know, year after year, we've grown and grown, and I've got great people around me and great instructors that that help keep the machine going.
So a lot of people will say, well, how is that different from Taekwondo, or how is it different from grappling or Brazilian Jiu-Jitsu? I mean, can you describe, because I have my own personal feelings on this. I really think Krav Maga is more practical in application, but could you tell the listeners a little bit about how it's so much different and how it really doesn't matter, you know, what type of human being you are, what size, weight, etc.?
Well, Krav Maga is for everybody. You know, everybody in the Israeli military, both men and women, go through it. So there's no distinguishing between, you know, the sexes, and they don't distinguish between how big they are. They're all, you know, becoming efficient at Krav Maga. So for us in the States, you know, we grew up with Western boxing and Taekwondo, and, you know, they're more of a sport aspect. And while I never want to get kicked in the head by a black belt in Taekwondo, and I never want to get punched by a professional boxer, you know, they have their limits. With Krav Maga, our mindset is to go home safe. So for us, we have no rules, and whatever's around us is a weapon, and we're training to react, because, you know, when chaos erupts, you're going to rise to the lowest level of your training. So if you have no training, that's where most people are going to freeze. And then if you have some training, hopefully that training pulls up, but the more and more you train, you know, the faster you're going to be able to react to that. And that's what we want to do. We want to address the threat, simultaneously counterstrike, and then get as much time and distance, excuse me, as we need to go home safe.
Now, again, this can be, you know, this could be a 6'3", you know, 250-pound guy, or it could be a 5'1", 110-pound woman. I mean, it's all about leverage. It's all about technique. If you can go through that a little bit, and also I'd like you, if you could expand on the idea and philosophy of mindset, and also the fact that people don't realize that they really do devolve to the lowest level of training. You know, if you haven't ever been in a really life or death situation, you don't know that. But once you've been through it, you realize it.
Yeah. You know, so for us, it's all about pure aggression. Every single human being on this planet, I don't care what your background is, you respond to violence. And with that, we try and get that quote unquote monster out of even the smallest, most, you know, sweet, innocent person, because it's in there. You know, we're primates by nature. We have canine teeth, so we're predators. It's all in us. It's just the ability to get that out. Now, obviously, if, you know, an individual is a large individual, we obviously don't want to stay in that scuffle. So part of what we talk about is, you know, avoiding and de-escalating. You know, if I can walk on the opposite side of a street and avoid a group of individuals that my intuition is telling me I don't want to walk past there with my family, well, I just practice Krav Maga. You know, people ask us all the time, well, you know, how often do you practice Krav Maga? Have you used it out there? You know, and very few instructors have actually gone hands-on. But, you know, for us, it's, I just practice Krav Maga. You know, I parked my car in a situation to where, you know, I could exit out quickly if I needed to, or I know where the exits are in a new building that I'm going into. That's for us is practicing Krav Maga. But when it comes time to get hands-on, that's where we want someone to just be as aggressive as possible to overwhelm someone. Because as soon as you attack someone, as you know, you're interrupting their OTA loop. If they have a plan and you interrupt that, then you have now implemented your OTA loop. And if you can keep on top of that, you know, he who keeps on top of their OTA loop faster is going to be more successful. But, you know, the ultimate goal is to get away. That's really it. You'll win 100 fights you walk away from, or 100 fights that you can run away from.
Well, let's talk about what is an Otoloop. I mean, what does that mean to the layperson listening right now? And also, when you walk into a place, just any venue, restaurant, anything, what are some ideas or mindset that you can give people when they walk into a place like that to identify potential threats or identify actions ahead of time? Because that really, at least from my perspective, serving overseas, that was what helped me the most. When you had a plan going in ahead of time, you thought through some of the things, it was quicker reaction time.
Oh, yeah, for sure. I mean, with the Otoloop, you know, developed by John Boyd, a fighter pilot, he really helped a lot in modern warfare, actually. His biography was amazing. I highly recommend it. But anyway, you know, observe, orient, decide, and act. So at any given time, we're in that situation. I don't care if you're, let's say you're rolling to a stoplight. You know, as I was coming up here to the radio station, you know, there was a handful of lights where I observed that they were going to go yellow. So I oriented myself to either stop or to go. And then I made that decision based upon when the light changed to yellow. Predators will do the same thing. They're going to observe an individual doing a pattern over and over, walking the same path over and over, running the same path over and over. They're going to orientate themselves in a situation and they're going to make a decision upon that and they're going to act. Now, we as self-defense practitioners, we can interrupt that Otoloop by simply running a different path or maybe noticing them, keeping running. There's so many different ways we can interrupt it, but that's the main goal. So however I can do that, as long as I can keep their thought process disrupted, whether I'm, you know, moving or throwing something at them or, you know, inflicting pain, that's the main goal. But as far as going into businesses or public venues or something like that, you know, for myself, we just try and make people a little bit more aware of their surroundings. You know, where are the exits? Most people, even the someplace you frequent quite often. I mean, if you ask someone, where's the nearest exit in the middle of your shopping store? You know, you're in the middle of Fred Meyer. Everybody thinks it's going to be at the front, the entrance that they came in, but there's exits elsewhere. And just being aware of those things, if chaos erupts, you're going to have a quicker path to get out of that venue. You know, things like that. We also talk to people about, you know, looking at hands and looking at pockets. You know, I'm a big proponent of looking at, folding knives. That knife, if you see that knife in someone's pocket, if an altercation goes down with that individual, you have to know that an edged weapon is going to be involved. Then do you know how to defend against that? Secondly, if I carry an edged weapon, which I do on a daily basis, I have to understand that that can become a liability against me if I don't have the time and distance to properly deploy it, if I need to use it, which should be a last resort, because it can be used against me. So those are the type of things that we like to, you know, talk about, because it's not always going hands-on. There's a lot more to self-defense than just kicking someone in the groin.
Yeah, you're absolutely right. Well, let's talk a little bit about de-escalation. You know, one of the things that I learned and I observed also, you would see really trained killers try to do everything they could to avoid a fight. And I think that's kind of counterintuitive probably to some people that are listening. You know, well, if you're trained and you're that big, well, you're ready for a fight, you're gonna get into a fight. But really that's not the case, because it's power under control, that mindset of power under control, and you want to do everything you can to keep the peace.
Oh, absolutely. I mean, you know, defending ourselves should be the last resort. I mean, if you're forced to do it, if I can't avoid it, if I can't de-escalate it, you know, then I need to go hands on, because it's horrible. Fights are nasty. You know, I mean, you're not going to come out unscathed. Even if you come out on top, I mean, you know, at my age, I'm just recovering from a blown bicep tendon, you know, from just some heavy sparring. So, you know, that wasn't even a real fight. So, you know, accidents, medical costs, lawsuits, all these things have to come into play. And so you have to sometimes just tuck your ego in your back pocket and, you know, try and de-escalate it. And it's hard sometimes. It's really hard, especially because, you know, we're pretty sensitive nowadays, and you know, people can take things the wrong way, and it's just hard. Once things get past that, you know what I'm talking about too, that proverbial line in the sand, and once we cross it, there's no going back. And so if we can avoid that, you know, you're going to save yourself a lot of heartache, because your family's there, you know, counting on you to be there every day for them. And if you let your ego get in the way, well, now what are they going to do?
Well, I think that's a great point. And how do you check your ego? I mean, what are some mental processes that people can adopt to kind of put their ego in check? And I got to tell you something. I wish I could take this to Olympia and teach it, because I think it would do wonders for politics.
I think you guys should maybe once a session get into a ring and get your things out of the way that way too. There's some good stuff to come from a little bit of violence. So, breathing techniques. I try and meditate on a daily basis, and of course it's going to be hard to meditate if someone's threatening you, but breathing is pretty big, and I know you've probably been taught that with combat breathing and whatnot, but breathing and just trying to keep what's most important to you. With my young son, he's in the back of my mind the whole time, and I the thought of him being, raised without me because my ego got in the way is heartbreaking. Now, if I lose my life because I defend his, well, then that's the way it goes down. But I'm going to do everything I can to avoid it. And I'm going to try and, teach him the same. So, it's tough. It's tough. I think if there was a magic bullet, or maybe a bad term to use there, if there's a magic, something we can use, a magic wand to wave to make everybody just a little bit more peaceful, we wouldn't have to be doing this. But de-escalation, that's a tough one, especially once the adrenaline kicks in. You know how that goes. It's a hair-raising ride.
It absolutely is a hair-raising ride. So let's talk a little bit about Las Vegas. A horrible, horrible situation down there. Regardless of who's responsible or how it happened or what laws were broken, all that stuff, I want to get to, there are a lot of venues in America today that are what the military term is soft targets for terror. It's happened in Europe. It's at stadiums and convention centers. It's happened also at concerts. It's happened in places where people congregate and gather, like churches. What can people be thinking about as they go in, and not to be paranoid, but to be aware? I think there's a big distinction between the two. What can they do when they're going into a venue like that be aware and be able to react?
No, you touched on the term. There's a fine line between being prepared and paranoid. I can dig a bunker and, have food for a year, or I can have food for a couple of weeks. They're both being prepared. One might be a little bit overboard, but that depends on the individual. But I think you can't go any place and enjoy yourself if you're constantly worried about it. However, I think if we're more proactive to, where are my exits? Where are, opportunities to get cover? Because as there's a big difference between hiding and covering. So, and it's being able to react under that stress. You watch some of the video and people just don't know what to do. They're freezing. And, I'm pretty lucky. I don't know. We did talk about it, bringing up a detective, Wilson from California to put on his phenomenal body language seminar. And, just after his shooting that he was involved in Sacramento. And it's a phenomenal, seminar that I encourage everybody to take advantage of, because it plays exactly into what happened in Vegas, because there's nothing you can do but get safe. There's nothing you can do in that situation but get safe. So trying to have a plan for that, I think, is something that more people should think about when they go to these venues. And obviously the more you drink, the less your plan's going to come into play. So that might be another thing to take into consideration. But
well, one of the ways that people can be prepared is just basic levels of physical fitness. I think it's probably one of the things that we don't think about, in being prepared for any situation that may arise out there. What is your philosophy on physical fitness, and what do you teach and train on physical fitness? Because there's so many different ways to get fit, but there's some ways that are more effective than others.
Oh yeah, tons of ways to get fit. Krav Maga Spokane, all of our training involves some sort of physical fitness, whether it be body weight exercises or with kettlebells or whatnot. We want you to learn at a depleted state. So whether your heart rate is 120 beats a minute because someone's firing at you from the 25th story of a building, or you've just done 50 burpees, your fine-tuned motor skills, your decision-making skills are all diminished. So that's why at Krav Maga Spokane, we teach the self-defense at the end of the class. So after we're done with our combatives and our drills and you guys are so tired and you're not making good decisions and you're not listening, okay, now we're doing the self-defense, because that's how you're going to react. So, you know, we try and push people. And what's amazing too is most people are unaware of what they're capable of. They think that, oh, I'm out of shape, I can't do this. Well, there's always more in the tank, and that's what we try and show people what they can do. You know, when you're going 40 seconds nonstop, most people are just going to run out of gas. You know, your body's just dumped full of cortisol and you're done. But when we can pull those people up and push them to that next level, that's when you start to see the confidence grow. And then, you know, people inadvertently get in shape, which is fantastic. So
I heard the statistic, it was about 40% or so is what you actually use, and your mind will start kicking in. There's not much left in the tank, but you've only really used about 40%. I've heard that several places, including from a couple special forces training folks. But what is your view on that? I mean, how much more can people push it? Because, and I'm not in a dangerous way, but in a way that brings them to the next level.
Oh no. I wish, Detective Wilson's got the science behind that. He's got some doctorate in body science, I think is what it is. It's amazing. He's got the science behind that. But, you know, for us, we try and just, you know, see, because it is amazing what they can do. Like our tests, even our level one tests are designed to completely fatigue you, because I want to see you completely fatigued. And I want to see you be able to effectively do the techniques that are required for that first belt. That instills confidence in myself and my instructors, knowing that, you know, when you're on the streets in Spokane, Washington, that you're going to be able to defend yourself. And, you know, I'm not in the business of selling belts. I'm in the business of, you know, selling confidence and safety. And so with that, you know, I think it depends on the individual. You know, sometimes people will just mentally crack, you know, they get into that black color code and they shut down, you know, and that's something that we try and keep an eye on. But you'd be surprised how many people, once they do get there, they want to come back and they want to do it again, and they want to push themselves harder, because they tap into something primal. And that, I think that's what a lot of people are missing. You know, we go to the gym and we lift weights and we run on the treadmill and we do all this stuff, but we're not getting the aggression out. We're just not. There's something primal about punching and kicking a bag and yelling and screaming that relieves stress and takes us down to a calmer level. And I can't explain that. It's just something that you have to experience yourself, but it's the truth. So
yeah, and I appreciate you mentioning that, the release of stress. One of the biggest things that has been talked about for dealing with post-traumatic stress for veterans is get back in the gym, get back out there and get involved again, and the stress level just goes way, way, way down.
Oh yeah, it's amazing. I tell people that Krav Maga saved my life, you know, and the first conversation you and I had, you know, we talked briefly about it. I mean, it brought me, my stress levels were just insane. I didn't have an outlet, and now all of a sudden I have this outlet, you know? And so, yeah, we do. We actually have a lot of vets. I actually employ a Marine who, you know, served, and, you know, his stress levels are taken down with training with us, you know, and we've got a lot of vets that come in for that, and they, you know, they love what they get out of it. It gives them an outlet. And, you know, as for everybody, but, you know, mainly the vets with what they've experienced, you know, but we do have a lot of battered victims also that come in and get that stress out.
Well, let's talk about that. You know, folks that have experienced traumatic events in their lives. What are some testimonials, not on just how Krav Maga has helped them to deal with it? And obviously don't mention names, but what are some testimonials too, where maybe later, after what they have learned, has actually saved them from a similar situation?
Well, I know it saved myself, as far as, you know, we have a lot of gals that are training with us that are coming from domestic violence, and you know, seeing them in their shells, so to speak, and not wanting to partner up with guys. And we understand that and respect that. We try and let them do it at their own pace where they feel comfortable again with it. But, you know, but seeing that and getting like the emails about, you know, my husband came back and I was able to stand up to him and tell him no, you know, and he actually listened. So, you know, those are the type of stories that, you know, make us feel good. But yeah, it's just kind of, skipping some of the better stories right now, skipping my mind.
No problem. Let's talk too about diet. You know, it's obviously very, very important. I know it's not something, you know, super central to what you're doing, but it is important, especially if you want to get back fit again.
Oh yeah, for sure. I mean, you know, I believe it's like a pyramid. I mean, you need exercise, you need good food, and you need rest. And if you don't have, you know, one of those three sides, your pyramid's not going to build and it's not going to grow. And, you know, so we're actually partnered up with a local business, Pantry Fuel. And we give all of our new members Pantry Fuel does a 1 month subscription to some meal planning to help get people back on the right track. You know, we encourage it. I mean, obviously everybody's a little bit different, but yeah, the healthier, the cleaner someone eats, you know, you can see it, you can tell. They'll come back on a Monday and be like, oh, I ate too much this weekend, you know, and by the end of the week, they're snapped out of it, you know? So yeah, we definitely try and encourage that for sure. Cause it's very, very important.
Well, I want to go back to, something that we talked about a little bit earlier, but just kind of briefly, but reaction times. You're bringing up Detective Wilson. I think it's on November 4th.
Correct.
So if you could talk a little bit about the science that you know of behind reaction times and how long it actually takes people to react to a sudden crisis situation.
I get the science says it's roughly like 4 seconds, and that's pretty mind boggling. And I didn't believe it until I watched some of the video at Detective Wilson's seminar that I went to this last December. And you can watch people, you know, either get hit or a loud bang happens or a gun goes off, and even police officers. And this is what he uses a lot of police video in his seminar is they freeze, and you can count the clock 1,000, 2,000, 3,000, 4,000, and then they react. So, you know, and of course your mind's going to shut off and you're not going to know what happened. You know, as he says, you quit writing in your mental book. But yeah, it's roughly 4 seconds. Now, I think that changes if you're actually prepared, not prepared for it, but you're anticipating it. There's a little bit of a difference of a time lag. You know, I mean, obviously if you guys as soldiers couldn't react for 4 seconds, we wouldn't be very effective. So, you know, it's the difference between being, you know, really prepared for it or, you know, just that shock and awe, and we're freezing for about 4 seconds.
All right. If you could talk about the program, talk about how people can actually get signed up to come down, kind of the levels that you do. How people can be involved in that way, because I know there's a lot of people listening, and I've advocated for self-defense, no victims, and they're going to want to get involved, and they're going to want to come down, they're going to want to train. So if you can, walk them through kind of how things work.
Sure, yeah. Yeah, no, perfect timing. This Saturday is actually a free class, so Saturday at 10 a.m., we just encourage everybody to show up a little bit early. Our classes on Saturdays are an all levels class. So we teach everything from yellow belt up to black belt, weapon combatives that deal with, you know, threats with guns and knives and long guns and sticks. We do have a ground program, but you get all inclusive classes with us. So we have everything from Krav Maga classes, cardio bag classes, you know, weightlifting classes. And we've even got some fantastic technology for recovery with our new cryotherapy chamber. So we've got everything that you need to get in shape, go home safe, and, you know, get in the best shape of your life. But you can check us out at KravMagaSpokane.com. And like I said, I encourage everybody to come down on Saturday. It's 10 a.m. is the start time. So please just show up early and, you know, come see what Krav Maga is all about. And you'd be surprised what punching a bag and kicking a bag for 45 minutes is going to do for you.
Let's talk real quick too about cryotherapy since you brought it up. It's kind of amazing stuff. I don't want to give it away, but if you could explain to the listeners what it is.
Yeah, you know, developed in the late 70s by some Japanese scientists for rheumatoid arthritis patients. You know, that certain parts of Japan have the oldest living human beings on the planet, and they're experiencing a lot of joint pain and have been for decades. And so they developed this. Liquid nitrogen is vaporized in a chamber that you stand in, and it takes temperatures upwards of negative 120 Celsius. So you're only in there for 3 minutes, but basically you're getting all the benefits of an ice bath without getting wet. You're not in there for 20 or 30 minutes. It's just phenomenal. Your body experiences almost like a hypothermic, like you're going into hypothermia. So the blood is pulled into the core, it's filtered, it's provided with nutrients. And then when you step out, as it goes to the extremities, it attacks those inflammation areas of the body. So it's not only for athletes, which has become very, very popular recently, but like I said, for those with arthritis, like myself, with autoimmune conditions, with joint pain, it's phenomenal stuff. It really is.
Well, there are young people listening to the show today. I know, you know, some of them may have been bullied in school. Some of them just, you know, never really got into any sort of athletics, never really worked out ever. What would be your message to them today specifically so that they would be encouraged to get trained up and be more confident when they walk down the street?
Well, I was that kid. I wasn't good in sports. I was overweight and I was teased and I was bullied. And, you know, Krav Maga, it changed my life. And I wish it would have been around when I was younger. So, you know, we teach, our adult program is taught upwards or as young as 13 years old. You know, I encourage these kids. We've got a lot of young kids that come in there. You know, we're going to teach you guys, yes, how to defend yourself, but also how to, you know, de-escalate, not take things so personally, get that confidence that you need. There's a lot of respect that comes when you're learning a, you know, a style like Krav Maga, and we love having the young kids around, and I encourage the parents to get them involved. You know, it's brutal. You know, we're going to teach your kids how to kick someone in the groin. Yeah, absolutely. We're going to teach them how to, you know, headbutt, things like that. But if their life is on the line, I would think you would want your kids to be able to do that. But we're not just teaching that. We're also teaching them how to avoid and de-escalate and, you know, how to be the calm warrior, if you will.
So there are a lot of veterans listening as well. And this is one thing that was kind of hard for me. You know, you come back and like, oh, I'm, you know, it was an ego thing, right? You know, I'm trained in that. Yeah, I've been trained in that. I did it. I you know, I went there, got the t-shirt. Don't really need to learn anymore, right? What would you be saying to veterans right now that maybe think they were trained in the military?
Well, you know, first, thank you for your service. And, you know, secondly, is we do have a lot of them that come over. I mean, it's something to give you guys just to build upon, you know, basic Army combatives, MCMAC, everything that you guys worked on. You know, you guys are trained to function as a unit. Solo, if you guys are going hand to hand, things have gone bad, you know, and so we encourage you guys to build on those skills and, you know, help with the PTSD and to, you know, just build upon it. It's great stuff. And I know there's a lot of, we've got a handful of operators, former operators that train with us and, you know, they've trained with Israeli special forces and, you know, they love this stuff and it's nice to give them that opportunity to, you know, just learn some new stuff.
Well, a couple of things too, you know, weapons retention was one that really stuck out in my mind because we weren't really taught a lot of weapons retention. And also, okay, so you run out of ammunition, you still got a weapon and it still can be used for something.
Oh yeah, for sure. So, you know, we're not teaching the fundamentals of good, you know, good shot placement and whatnot. I mean, that's where you guys come into play to help us out. But, you know, if that threat presents itself, you know, we want to be able to neutralize that threat. It's mind boggling to me that people don't understand how one individual can be taken down easily. It's not impossible. It's especially in a group environment. So, you know, teaching how to control those weapons, Krav Maga follows an acronym of redirect, control, attack, takeaway. We want to redirect that line of fire, control that weapon, attack that individual to disrupt that thought process. And if we need to take that weapon away, and then it pulls over for, you know, edged weapon, which is the scariest of all for us to have to defend, and then sticks, and long gun or whatever implemented weapon you've got. But yeah, the weapon combatives for Krav Maga are just phenomenal.
All right. So what would be the message then to, let's say, the 55-year-old woman who's a grandmother who, you know, I would never need to use this or even if I did, somebody else would come to my rescue?
Yeah, the message being that I know there's heroes out there. There's that we walk amongst them every single day. But we also are surrounded by people that are going to freeze and film you before they're going to help you. So if there's anything, you know, we have female-only seminars that we offer several times a year. Our next one's coming up in November. Just come to that. It's 2 hours. You're going to learn some great combatives out of that, you know, using your voice as a weapon, some close-range attacks that you can use. And, you know, just in case. That's what it's all about. I mean, plenty of people pack firearms and mace and whatnot just in case. Why not have some weapons that never run out or you don't have to dig in your purse to get out of? They're right there.
Well said. I love it. Well, one more time, if you could plug the website and then also not just this Saturday's event, but the November 4th event as well.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. So you can go to KravMagaSpokane.com. The free event, Krav Maga class is this Saturday. It starts at 10 a.m. Show up early. Saturday, November 4th, Detective Wilson is coming up. His seminar is it cannot be missed. I can't emphasize it enough. It changed my complete mindset of self-defense. It starts at noon. Tickets are on sale at the website. You can just click through there or if you follow us on Facebook. And as far as the cryotherapy goes, you can check it out at 509 cryo.com. Phenomenal stuff too. So if you've got aches and pains or you need to recover faster, that's where it's at. But yeah, you know, we're running 6 days a week, unlimited classes. I've got enough classes to keep you busy all week long and get the stress out. So we're looking forward to it.
Well, we've got a couple minutes left. I want to ask you a quick question.
Sure.
About, by the way, my mom just texted me and said, what about a 73-year-old grandma? So I want to get your perspective real quick as a business owner, because that's, you know, I think a lot of times people don't see folks that train self-defense as business owners. What are your kind of comments on you know, the environment maybe in Washington, where we could, more particularly, where we could improve in Washington State? I'd like to just get your perspective real quick, if you're comfortable with it.
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, I enjoy being a small business owner. I enjoy being able to employ, you know, some great people that help keep me, you know, in business and, you know, to provide a quality product to Spokane. However, as we all know, there's a lot of taxes out there, and I'm not saying I don't need to pay my fair share, but I just think it needs to be fair. You know, if Boeing gets a discount, well, then I want the same discount. You know, that's where it's at. I understand. I want nice, smooth roads to drive in, you know, and I want the fire department to come put my building out if it goes on fire, you know, but make it fair, because it is tough for us. You know, there's I can't tell you, you know, the first few years I was living on next to nothing. I had no wife, no kid. And so I was able to do that, but I lived on nothing to get my business going. I opened up in 2009. So if you guys are aware of what the market was like then, a lot of people thought I was crazy. But here we are, you know, 7+ years later, and we're doing great. So I've learned a lot, but it wasn't easy. And that's for sure.
Well, Brayson, I really appreciate everything you're doing, especially empowering the community of all stripes, races, creeds, gender. I love it, because no victims is across the board, and it's something that I think it brings a community together, honestly, don't you think?
Oh, yeah, absolutely. You know, chaos, tragedy, it brings out the best in everybody, but it's all there inside of us. Why do we need the chaos, you know, and the tragedy to bring us together? You know, if that person wants to cut in line in front of you in traffic, you know, let them in. It's going to slow you down by maybe 30 seconds. You know, it's all about keeping things in perspective, you know, keeping those important people in the back of our minds, but, you know, always being prepared. You know, don't let up on the skills. The skills are perishable, just like shooting or anything else. It's all perishable. And so is your health. You only get one body. Take care of it. Because like you said, your health is important. One of my favorite mentors, Boss Rutan, cardio wins fights. And also, what is it, Zombieland cardio? I forget what the joke is with that, with if you gotta run. So yeah, take care of yourself, and you know, the mindset is there too, and it's healthy mind, healthy body, and you know, we're gonna have a safer community with that.
Absolutely right. Brayson Buckner, thank you very much for joining me here on Patriot Radio today. Again, I appreciate everything you're doing. God bless. We'll have you back on again. And I hope that there are a lot of people listening today that are going to go down on Saturday and also on November 4th.
Hey, thank you so much for your time.
All right. Well, you can check it out. I'm going to post this on Patriot Radio's Facebook page right now. It's really, if you have not ever heard of Krav Maga, you really got to check it out. Virtually every expert I've ever talked to believes it's the most practical. I personally believe it's the most practical for just everyday situations, and it can work for any body type. It can work for any age. It can work for any gender, and it empowers you. It really does empower you, and you can go check him out and all of the other things that they do. And like you mentioned, they do cryotherapy. They also do fitness training. They do a little bit of dietary consultation through that other third party. It is worth your time just to go down there and learn about it. KravMagaSpokane.com, KravMagaSpokane.com. And again, it's Brayson Buckner, and I just really appreciate him. I appreciate his attitude. And it really does bring the community together. And so this Saturday, 10 o'clock, and if you don't know where it is, it's down near Division and Sharp, right down near Gonzaga University. You can check them out. They're going to have a free class this weekend. Also, November 4th, bringing up Detective Wilson to talk about reaction times and body language in regards to threats. And this is what changed some of my perspective. You can actually focus on people and focus on body language and get tipped off ahead of time if a threat's coming. I'll tell you a couple of stories, actually. One over in the Middle East, there would be men that would dress up in burkas, and they would mix and mingle in a crowd, could be a crowd marketplace or something like this, and you had to learn to look at the eyes, and you had to learn to look at the feet as well. Those are two things that really stood out, because you can tell where somebody actually, where their mind is by where their feet are pointed. You can also tell their disposition, their demeanor by their eyes. And in those cases, you could tell, hey, wait, that is not just a woman out shopping in the marketplace. That's a potential threat. And these are the kind of things that we need to learn. And if you think, well, I don't need it, that's just never going to happen, you do. In fact, it can actually enhance your daily life, because you can tell when somebody could be a threat just in a normal conversation, or it just makes sense to do those kind of things. And the other one that I'll tell you about in Bosnia and Herzegovina, where you have language barriers and maybe you can't understand what somebody's saying, you sure can tell by their body language. You sure can tell by the positioning of their body. You can tell by their eyes as well whether they mean you harm or not. So this can cross and does cross all boundaries and all barriers. So again, check them out, KravMagaSpokane.com, KravMagaSpokane.com. I'll get that up on Facebook here momentarily. I want to end the show tonight very quickly by reading a quote. I think this sums everything up. You know, the knee-jerk reaction to what happened down in Las Vegas just is not, I don't think, doing anybody any good. Look, all the laws that this guy broke, all the laws that this guy broke, one more law would not have prevented this. And Federal Farmer wrote in 1787, and these are kind of the anti-federalists, wrote this: "To preserve liberty, it is essential that the whole body of the people always possess arms and be taught alike, especially when young, how to use them." Amen. I couldn't think of anything better. But he goes on: "The mind that aims at a select militia must be influenced by a truly anti-Republican principle. And when we see many men disposed to practice upon it, whenever they can prevail, no wonder true Republicans are carefully guarding against it." God bless you all.